So Tony Perkins, Forge Sound. Yes, Tony, so we spoke. Perhaps you can say when you came to...
I came here to the village in 1988.
And came from?
From, interesting question, I suppose, yes, Yorkshire.
Right.
Yeah.
But having previously
having
been...
been all over the place, yes.
Right. And originally in East Africa?
Originally in Kenya.
Right. And you were born in Kenya?
Born in Kenya in 1936.
Right. And you came to Eastmere?
Came to Eastmere in 88.
And came here, why did you choose Eastmere?
Because my mother-in-law lived in Petersfield.
Okay.
And Julia's family came from Bereton.
Right.
They used to build Western and have farms there. And yes, it seemed like a logical place. The children had grown up and
right.
Might just have built downsize while we still could, so we did.
And you've been farming in Yorkshire?
No. I was when I was in Yorkshire, I was with a textile firm selling machinery.
Right.
Carding machinery, if you know what.
Yes.
But of course, being cotton machinery, you couldn't sell it into Lancashire. You had to sell it abroad because Lancashire wouldn't listen to anything,
right.
Any new form of technology, whatever.
Right.
So my job, I was sent out to Cairo, set up an office for the Middle East.
Yes.
Which I did, and I covered the whole country from, to start with, Egypt, right across to Bangladesh.
Right.
I used to travel around there regularly. And then I was promoted is the wrong word, I think. I think they were short of people. Given Africa as well, so I just had Africa as well as...
Right, right, okay.
Travel around. Which I found most exciting because I knew most of Africa anyway. So.
Yes. Gosh, okay, yes. And why did you choose Eastmere rather than Petersfield, say?
Basically because we get the country people.
Yes.
We did want to be in a town.
Yes.
Certainly didn't like the noise and the bustle of towns.
Yes. Were you retiring here or still working?
I retired here.
Right. But you didn't retire, did you?
I didn't retire. I don't think one ever does. I think I started gardening for friends and ended up gardening for friends 10 years later, more than that. Yeah.
And did quite a few of the gardens, I think.
I did a lot of gardens.
Yes.
Including some for the village council. But mostly just for friends.
Yes. But did the garden of the Tudor house as well, I think?
So, the house was... it was just a case of... At that time, there were three houses for sale.
Yes.
In Eastmere. And we had been renting around, looking for a house for some time. And... these three came up on the same day that we sold our house up in Yorkshire.
Right.
So it was a question of pick and choose. And Judy did the choosing. And
right.
She was absolutely right. My only criteria was that I should be able to stand up under the central beam, which I could with a half an inch to spare.
Okay, gosh, it's quite close. And close to the pub, was that part of the requirement?
No, it had nothing to do with it.
Right.
I suppose we just liked the old things. You see, it's a lovely old house. It is the oldest house.
Yeah.
I've got lovely old furniture.
Yes.
And it just appealed, you know. It fitted together very nice. It was the right size.
Yes.
And
how did you find the farming community? Was it a community like the ones you've known in Africa?
Oh, completely different.
Yes.
Completely different. No, it's a I deliberately kept out of anything to do with farming, because I know perfectly well what the farming I was trained to and the farming which was going on now are two different, you know, worlds apart.
Yes.
And, I could no more to talk modern farming than they could talk coffee farming.
No, indeed.
Now, when we were in Africa, it was a case of you grew whatever you thought would be successful, because nobody knew, of course.
Yes.
Coffee was an option.
Yes.
Maize was obviously an option. But because of the altitude, because of the soil we were growing it on, we could grow certain things that other people couldn't grow.
Yes.
Like pyrethrum.
Yes. Oh gosh, okay. Yes.
Which is a
fibre.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there were a few farms which could do that, and we had a very successful business, actually.
Yeah.
Drying these flowers and extracting the whatever it was from them, and throwing the rest away.
And so, when you moved here, did you get sucked into many things? I mean, I've got sucked into 101 things since I arrived, and.
Everything, yes. I think from the East Meppian point of view, I mean, it's a very vibrant village.
Yes.
There's always something.
Yes.
And yes, the garden club was the most important, I suppose.
Yes.
So I was a bit too old for most of the sports clubs.
Right, yes.
Existing.
Were you a bell ringer before you came here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
So you hadn't bell rung in Africa, you'd...
Oh, Lord, no. We had, as far as I know, there was only one church in Kenya which had bells.
Yes.
And that was a place called Kilifi down at the coast. And
right.
It had four bells.
Right. So how did you get sucked into bell ringing?
I suppose the pleasure of making a noise.
Right, yes.
Pure and simple, but I mean... Nice people.
Yes.
Very friendly, very welcoming.
Yes.
And anxious to teach, you know. It's one of those, it's a long-term thing. You just pick it up. You work at it for many years, and you might end up some good at the end of it. You know, some people can do it, some people can't.
No, I struggle.
I'm one of those who can't really claim to do much.
But they're quite a mix, the bell ringers, aren't they? I mean, socially and East Meppian and outside, all of that.
That's the good thing about it.
Yes.
You know, they are a mixed bunch.
Yes.
And university are nice people to know.
Yes. And did you get drawn into activities in the church as well?
Yes, I was a church warden for Peter, for Terry Loudon,
when
he first came. Julie was also a church warden.
Yes.
And she was before me, because her mother, funnily enough, was the first lady church warden of Petersfield.
Goodness.
They never had one before.
Right, okay.
So I think Julie felt that she could do just as well.
Yes.
And she did. and she was a great flower arranger and a great...
Harvest Festival.
Yes.
Yes, doer.
She did a lot, and she was very good at it.
And the church was reasonably lively then?
Very lively.
Yes.
Yes. So that was when Terry Loudon first came.
Yes.
Who was the man before that? Peter Wadsworth.
Right.
He was also a very live wire. He wasn't a churchman by profession.
Yeah.
He came out of the civil service, I think.
Okay, goodness, okay. Mm. Yes.
And at some point, it did some parachuting, I think. I didn't quite know why.
No, right, okay, goodness. Yeah.
Anyway, he took us on pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
Right.
Which was a great success. And that was all people from local
from the village
people, language.
Yes.
And we had a really good pilgrimage.
Yes.
Got around and saw everything.
And the place of the church in the village, I mean, was it fairly active?
Oh, very.
Yes.
Very. It's interesting because Dennis Ryder, who you didn't know,
yes,
made a series of videos of the village in 2000.
Yes.
And every single one of them, you know, without fail, features a church. Not because it's, you know, it was, yes, set out to be part of the church, but it just happens that everything that we done in the village had a church. You know, we were busy building the church hall, and
yes,
everything was going on.
Yes.
People were doing things left, right, and centre. So it was a great labour of love, and I think it brought people into the village who otherwise wouldn't have been,
yes,
particularly interested. And when I was church warden, I always used to go to everybody and say, "Well, you know, welcome to East Mere, nice to, yes, see you. We do this here. Now, what do you do? Can you come up with something which we don't do?"
Yes.
In which case, we'll help. We'll organise it. We'll help, yes, help you get established. And that a lot of people did that.
Yes.
And it was nice to get to know people as they came in. You know, it was, mm-hmm, part of. In those days, it was a welcome which we could all do.
Yes.
And those people did.
And the church warden job was demanding, or
It was demanding. Yes. Yes, because at that time it was an interregnum.
Right.
So it was a question of finding, before Terry came.
Yes.
Finding somebody for every Sunday service.
Right. And
making sure everybody turned up. Oops.
Sorry.
Yeah, make sure everybody knew what they were supposed to be doing, and who was coming, who was going, who was sidesman, who was reading a lesson, who was.
Yes.
A huge number. Because you'd be amazed at how often people forget what they're supposed to be doing.
Oh, indeed. Well, I'm one of them. I'm one of them, definitely. And the choir was fairly active?
Very active.
But yeah. You weren't part of that?
That was Chris Cobley.
Right, yes.
He came back from the Navy and had a job up in London. That's when he started the choir up.
Yes.
No, and they were very good, very keen.
Yes.
Very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And actually very good.
Yes.
I'm no singer, so I wouldn't know good from the bad, but
yes.
Yeah, there's plenty of volume there and plenty of enthusiasm.
Yes.
Which was the fun bit of it. They used to sing all sorts of whatever was going. They were excellent. And then Terry came along, and he was, again, had been on the Isle of Wight for a long time.
Yes.
He'd been a priest for a long time. Mm-hmm. He was very, very good.
Yes.
Extremely good pastoral.
Yes.
Pastoral man.
Do you think the village has become sort of less leaning on the church than it used to be?
I think people wouldn't admit that it was still very much dependent on the church. But
yes,
it's, I mean, you've only got to see the difference that the Jane makes.
Yes,
when she's up there talking, and she just swings the whole thing, and she gets around and she talks to people.
Yes,
if it's a pastoral thing, they have a much bigger part. A part to play. Unfortunately, nowadays the society is so here today and gone tomorrow, and
yes,
working up in London.
Mm.
But a lot of people you hardly ever saw.
Yes,
and they're a great loss. But I think they're coming back again.
Do you think wasn't much of a worry in the time you've been here about the village just being populated by people who
oh, yes.
were work, working and didn't play a part in the village?
Yes, very much so. There was a time before they built the Green.
Yes.
The whole development.
Yes.
Well, I think the whole village was seriously wondering what on earth they were going to do with it themselves next, because they weren't going anywhere. They weren't getting any bigger.
Yes.
And people were, as I say, working up in London, back here after dark, off to work before it got light in the morning.
Yeah.
And I don't think they felt attached at all.
And quite difficult for young people in the village?
Quite difficult, yes.
In terms of jobs?
Yes.
Yes.
One could, you know, write books about that, but the agricultural community, of course, has always been pretty steady.
Yes.
Doing its own thing, but it's the young sort of 35, 40-year-olds that weren't quite sure what they were aiming for.
Yes.
So I think that's settled down now. I mean, there are a lot of young people who are very good, up and at it.
Yes.
Cricket team is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, they do a huge amount for, not just for the cricket team, but for the village generally.
Did you play cricket?
I used to play.
Right.
A long time ago.
Yes.
But I enjoy it. There's nothing better on a Sunday afternoon, I think, going up and watching and hammering away.
And the cricket team, again, presumably was quite across the village. I mean, it wasn't.
It was, but it was much more focused on one or two families.
Right.
Who had always played, you know.
Yes.
And they weren't really prepared to shift their position too much.
right.
He's a wicketkeeper, and he's always been a wicketkeeper, and he's going to be stay a wicketkeeper.
Yes.
But it was there as a sort of foundation.
Yes.
Early on, but now it's spread. I mean, a whole lot of youngsters.
Yes.
Up there, but I don't even know.
Yes. And in terms of what sort of makes the village work socially, I mean, gives it heart, if you understand.
Difficult to say.
Because it could be just a lot of people living in their houses
It's the fact that they're all supposed to go out and talk, and most, you know, all talk to each other.
Mm.
And all have something in common.
Yes.
And I think probably fiercely Eastmere too.
Yes.
You know, we have an ongoing feud with Westmere.
Yes.
which has been going on for centuries.
Yes.
I think it's just one of those things. It's inbuilt. You become an Eastmere.
Yes.
Rather quicker than you do in Yorkshire, where you have to wait for about 30 years.
Yes. Certainly, I came to the village and expected to have to serve at least 10 years or 20 years before I'd be accepted by the community as not an outsider, but.
Somebody's got to be inculcated.
Yes.
Yes. But I think that, I mean, the things like the Mayfair, the various things the village hall does.
Yes.
They're all good community things. And,
yes.
And they all draw people in.
Yep.
In some ways, one could wish for more, like, yeah, nursery schools and that sort of thing, but on the other hand, you can only produce so many children at a time.
No, indeed.
You can't do it all.
Yes. And the shops, I mean, have the shops changed, or when you came was there just the one shop?
No, there was Jenny and Frank Wheeler here.
Yes.
They kept the post office.
Right.
And then John Emptage, he kept the post office, and he sold to the Wheelers.
Yes.
Apart from that,
and the post office was just a post office, or sold?
No, it was never just a post office.
Yes.
This is the greengrocers and all sorts.
Right. Selling local produce?
They worked extremely hard.
Yes.
They always said they didn't do very well, but I suspect they did.
Yes. But when they retired, nobody took on the roles?
No.
No.
No. Part of the post office's fault, I think.
Yes.
They didn't manage the transition very well.
Yes.
I don't think there's anybody actually dashing to do the job.
No.
And when
Darius and Janet,
I mean, they took it on more or less as a sort of an extra to what they were doing at the time. I suppose they do quite well. I have no idea what the post office terms are, but the post office has gone from one thing to another, hasn't it? It's gone from being absolutely essential to being a bit of a red herring around people's necks.
No, indeed. And as you've got sort of older in the village, is it more difficult to live here? I mean, the doctor's some way away, the shops are some way away.
No, absolutely not. No. I think it's extraordinary how cohesive it is.
And how do you manage that? I mean,
I don't know. People just come in, and it's a very open place.
There's people in the village coming in and
yes.
Yeah. So people shop for you?
Yes. Oh yes. They do anything for you.
Yes.
It couldn't be better.
Yes.
Again, I think there's probably a function of not being too many of us.
Yes.
If there were crowds and crowds and crowds of people.
Yes.
It could be a bit of a bore, but actually, no. They're wonderful.
But a lot of modern technology has helped there, hasn't it, in terms of Amazon and
Zoom
or Skype. That
all helps.
Yes.
As far as it takes you. I can't cope with most of it.
Yes.
I really don't. And nor do I want to be. People flick out their phone and sort of telephone in the back end of nowhere or find out what Google says about you.
Yes.
Goodness knows what. It's way beyond me. And to be honest, I'm not interested. It just isn't what I've seen.
But you order things on Amazon.
You get whatever you want on Amazon.
Yes. And you've got Stay Fresh or Keep Fresh or whatever it is. Hello Fresh.
Hello Fresh, yes. I've got everything I need.
Yes.
As I say, people are always offer to go and get something for you if you want it. So.
Yes.
I regret not having a car anymore.
Yes.
But it was my decision to stop. You know, I decided to give it up for not only for my own safety, but for the safety of everybody else on the road.
I think we all get to that stage, don't we?
And again, I thought I'd missed it like fury.
Yes.
And I didn't. Yes. Not at all. I can live without a motor car quite easily.
Yes.
Yes, every now and then is a reason why you would rather like to have a car as well.
Yeah. But, do you think it's easier to live in a small village now than it was, say, 15 years ago as an older person in terms of, you know, the home delivery supermarkets and the HelloFresh and the Amazon deliveries?
It's easier from that point of view. I think... To me, people feel it's a letdown. You know, they haven't moved with the times at all.
No, I agree.
They're busy shutting down everything and not thinking of other things to do with their spaces.
Yes.
Uh, that's not something we do here, you know. In Eastmere, we there's usually some other use for a building or a,
yes,
or a whatever, you know. Yeah. Somebody says, oh, I'm giving up, so and say, oh, I'll have it, you know. I'll do something with it.
And did you used to eat in Petersfield much, or mostly in the pubs in the village?
I don't, the pubs in the village, I think, are very good.
Yes.
They look after, I've always found them extremely good.
Yes.
There's no need to go any further, really.
Well, yep.
You could take a taxi into Petersfield and can't get drunk. What's the point of that?
I agree. Well, you're lucky. You've got the Isaac on your doorstep, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, one of the big events in your time here, I guess, was the cottages just across the river burning down.
That was pretty tremendous. Yes.
Yeah, so how did you realise what was happening there?
We were actually in the pub. It was a Friday. It was a good Friday.
Yes.
And the pub was heaving.
Yeah.
As it usually is for fish and chips on a Friday.
Yes.
And somebody came along and said, "Do you know the smoke coming out of that thatch?" And we said, "No, go on." Yeah, the people who were from the house were there too.
Goodness.
And couldn't believe it.
Yes.
All of a sudden, this was completely out of control. And the wind was blowing, fortunately, from west to east.
Yes.
So it blew up the river, not down. Sadly, that's caught the one next door, because it shouldn't have done that, really. Had they been quicker off the mark, they'd have stopped it. But
so where was the nearest pub?
At the time, the two rooms he was retired, he's to connect it, you see.
Right.
So they just spread inside. You couldn't do any of it at all.
Yes.
And to be honest, I mean, you realise there's absolutely nothing you can do.
Yes.
They sent, it must have been a dozen fire engines.
Goodness.
They pumped the river dry. and of course, the biggest problem with the thatch, which won't affect you, unfortunately, is this wire netting they put over the top.
Yes.
They couldn't get it off.
So you can't break out the burning.
You can't get the burning
rushes straw.
So it burned happily all that night.
Goodness.
And it was still burning the next on Sunday morning.
Were you worried?
I was.
Because you're quite close.
I was very worried. It only just across the river.
15 meters away.
Yeah. But again, there was nothing you could do.
Yeah. Did you sleep?
No. It was quite amusing. Richard Daysford was in the pub also at the time, and when this all broke up, Richard came along, and we sat in the garden here.
Yes.
And he had his video with him, and he took the video, and it was actually on the BBC News.
Yes, goodness.
Because he shipped it straight up to London.
Right.
And and then we were more or less watching the thing
taking place while it was going on.
Yes.
And year 2000, were the big celebrations the year 2000?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Which
they were terrific. They were lovely.
What form did they take?
That was the table down the high street.
Right.
And they, all the way down from the Isaac, basically, to the... Yes, as far as the war memorial.
Yes.
They just laid it out. Everybody came.
Yes.
Absolutely everybody.
That was a daytime?
A daytime thing, yes. And then, of course, as the evening drew on, it developed into dancing. Barely let off fireworks, and goodness knows what, from the top of Park Hill here.
Right.
And it was terrific. And they had Gerald Matt with his pork hog roast.
Yes.
He was up on the green there. And everybody had a whale, of a time. And I said, all the old folk were out there.
Yeah. Singing?
Yes.
What were they singing?
I can't remember that.
Right.
But we had a sort of king and queen of the day.
And the children were there as well?
Yes, that was a great occasion. But that's the sort of thing I mean, you know, where everybody sort of got stuck in. I always say, just bring enough food for yourself. You know, it's very much seven barley loaves and five fishes,
yes.
And there's stacks of stuff left over at the end of it.
Yes.
No, I think from that point of view, we're very, very lucky.
Yes. And the Garden Club was mostly talks, or was it?
Talks and visits, yes.
Yes.
Used to do a lot of visiting these days.
Yeah.
It was only a bus was a relatively cheap thing to do.
Yes.
You know, you could get a bus load of people in their town and so on. Pushed off down to Somerset or whatever. We even spent one weekend down in Devon.
Goodness.
And that was great too.
And you used to do the open garden scheme, or did you open your garden?
Yes. That's a lovely thing, because you get people coming year after year.
Yes.
And you sort of think, oh, I've never seen him before. It's then, how's that rose that you put in over there last year? Is it thriving, or is it not? And they do actually come to learn and to figure things out. One very, very interesting occasion, we had a couple come round the garden, and they said, I suppose we couldn't look inside the house. And we said, well, no, actually, we don't open it at all.
Yes.
Because in those days, this house used to be open to people to come and have a poke around with the beams and things.
Yes.
But I said, we didn't just open it like that.
Yes.
So it was pretty, because we were evacuated from Portsmouth.
Yes.
During the war, and we lived here.
Right.
And actually, we said, well, in that case, come on in. And they were going around sort of pointing out the various things that have changed since the war. But he said, this house used to be four families lived in here.
Goodness, and how many rooms have you got in this house?
Three bedrooms. We had three bedrooms.
Goodness, and four families.
Four families.
Goodness.
And cut it in this way.
Right.
And it was really, very interesting to find they remembered so much.
Yes. But it's quite low, isn't it, the house? I mean, the door beside you is what?
That's just put there. Well, it couldn't make it any bigger, because it cut through that beam.
Yes.
In which case, the whole house might fall down.
So it wasn't about how tall people were.
Absolutely. All this first floor.
Yes.
Wasn't here when it was first built.
Yes.
It was all put in afterwards.
Right.
Which I think is fascinating, because obviously the timbers don't match.
Yes.
Some of them are obviously originals.
Yes.
A lot of them you can tell are not original. I mean, this thing going down the middle here.
So when was the house? When was the oldest bit of the house?
1370.
Goodness.
Yeah, that we know, because we used to have these people come around looking at joints.
Doing the timbers. Yes. Yes.
And they said that joint didn't exist before then. So
right, goodness.
But this is it's obviously a foreign bit, but was just brought in.
Yes.
From some other application. It's not long enough.
No, yeah, I wondered about that, what that was about. Because it's a rather strange arrangement over the fireplace.
It's a very strange way of doing it. Of doing it.
Yes. And you found any old, you know, sort of... So in my house I found some bottles, which might be witch bottles, for example.
I found some old bottles. I found an old badge in the garden.
Yes.
Foresters or something.
Yes.
Which is quite interesting.
Yes.
And then, of course, the insurance things on the other side are quite well.
Interesting.
Well, they're good daters.
Yes.
But it's unusual for any house to have two of them.
Yes.
And this has, presumably, because either the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing.
Yes.
Or didn't agree with what they were doing.
Yes.
But wanted to show a bit of independence.
Well, it's a fascinating house, I have to say.
I love it. Nothing would shift me.
I
just find it absolutely amazing. It's still standing, and B, it's in such good nick.
Yes. Have you had to do much to keep it?
Oh yes, you have to do a lot to it.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't just leave these things to themselves.
But your timbers look all pretty good.
They're all pretty good.
Yeah.
Touch wood.
Yes.
Literally, I mean, they're so damn hard. You can't stick a drawing pin into most of it.
No, it's oak, very hard. And your walls are mostly brick, or you've got
mostly brick.
Right. Any wattle and daub?
A bit up in the top.
Right. Yes.
But that's only where the louvers used to be.
Yes.
I think the fireplace is somewhere up there, and just above it is there used to be a louver.
Yes.
And that's smoke covered, and I left it there in case any nosy Parker wants to know why we destroyed history or something.
Yes.
So I left it there deliberately.
Right.
If you want to squeeze up there, you can go and have a look.
Right.
As far as I know, nobody's been up since I did the. I made the bedroom into, took the ceiling out.
Yes.
And just kept it as the original timbers over the top. It's a very high room.
Yes.
But it's probably.
So was this house originally thatched, or?
It must have been. Must have been originally.
Rather than tiled. Yes.
There was no option there, I think, in those days.
No. Mine, I think, is the same.
Hmm. I mean, how they managed to do the various adaptations, I don't know, but they did.
Yes. Brilliant.
I
think we might stop there. Yep. We've probably
run out of time.
Yes, I think we've run out of time, really. But anyway, lovely to speak. And very, very interesting, very interesting. Thank you.
Well, if there's anything else that needs filling in or clarifying, I'll do my best.
Add a bit more. Brilliant. I'll turn it off.
Very much off the cuff there.
Great. Ooh. Stop.